This folder contains one document titled Extracts Quoted from Aldous Huxley's Foreword to the First and Last Freedom, but written by J. Krishnamurti, with commentary by Z. Charnot. This was written Saturday, March the 15th, in the winter of 1986. Huxley says, "Man lives in two worlds, the world of matter, life, and consciousness, and the world of symbols." Charnot writes, "The congruency or possible congruency of these worlds matters." Huxley says, "Symbols are indispensable." Charnot says, "To notation and communication." Huxley says, "But symbols can also be fatal." And Charnot says, "In thinking." Huxley writes, "Explanatory symbols were well chosen, carefully analyzed, and progressively adapted to the emergent facts of physical existence." And Charnot writes, "But," Huxley continues, "misleading symbols were everywhere treated with a wholly unwarranted respect, as though in some mysterious way they were more real than the realities to which they referred. In the contexts of religion and politics, words are not regarded as standing rather inadequately for things and events. On the contrary, things and events are regarded as particular illustrations of words." Charnot writes, "Other contexts equally show this misplaced regard." Huxley goes on, "In every situation involving our deeper impulses, we have insisted on using symbols, not merely unrealistically, but idolatrously, even insanely. Even the best cookery book is no substitute for even the worst dinner." And Charnot says, "Or substituting traveling on the map for traveling in the territory." Huxley writes, "The most profound philosophers, the most learned and acute theologians have constantly fallen into the error of identifying their purely verbal constructions with facts, or into the yet more enormous error of imagining that symbols are somehow more real than what they stand for. The truth was never preached by Buddha. Seeing that, you have to realize it within yourself. The strange, idolatrous overestimation of words and emblems continues unchecked. Logic and semantics, linguistics, Benjamin Whorf's term. These are purely intellectual disciplines. They analyze the various ways, correct and incorrect, meaningful and meaningless, in which words can be related to things, processes, and events, but they offer no guidance in regard to the much more fundamental problem of the relationship of man in his psychophysical totality, and his two worlds of data and of symbols. Every system is a standing temptation to take symbols too seriously, to pay more attention to words than to the realities for which the words are supposed to stand. The man who has successfully solved the problem of his relationships with the two worlds of data and symbols is a man who has no beliefs. Formulas lead inevitably only to blind thinking. Symbols should never be raised to the rank of dogmas, nor should any system be regarded as more than a provisional convenience. An education that teaches us not how, but what to think is an education that calls for a governing class of pastors and masters. Once you have learned the truth of quieting the mind through the repetition of words, and of receiving hints in that quietness, the danger is, unless you are fully alert as to whence those hints come, that you will be caught, and then prayer becomes a substitute for the search for truth. Or instead of repetition of words, Chan or Zen, stillness of mind. Huxley says, "Judge not that ye be not judged," applies to our dealings with ourselves no less than to our dealings with others. Where there is judgment, where there is comparison and condemnation, openness of mind is absent. There can be no freedom from the tyranny of symbols and systems. There is a transcendent spontaneity of life, a creative reality, which reveals itself as immanent only when the perceiver's mind is in a state of alert passivity or choiceless awareness. Judgment and comparison commit us irrevocably to duality. Only choiceless awareness can lead to non-duality, to the reconciliation of opposites and a total understanding and a total love. And Charnot writes phrases in quotes from Krishnamurti's text. Huxley goes on, through this choiceless awareness, as it penetrates the successive layers of ego and its associated conscious, subconscious, will come love and understanding, but of another order than that with which we are ordinarily familiar. This choiceless awareness at every moment and in all the circumstances of life is the only effective meditation. This is not a gift. It is to be discovered and experienced. It is not an acquisition to be gathered to yourself, to glorify yourself. It is a state of being, as silence, in which there is no becoming, in which there is completeness. It is to be found, this imperishable treasure, where thought frees itself from lust, ill will, and ignorance, where thought frees itself from worldliness and personal craving to be. It is to be experienced through right thinking and meditation. Choiceless self-awareness will bring us to the creative reality which underlies all our destructive make-believes, to the tranquil wisdom which is always there in spite of ignorance, in spite of the knowledge which is merely ignorance in another form. Knowledge is an affair of symbols, and is, all too often, a hindrance to wisdom, to the uncovering of the self, from moment to moment.